Blog Talk Radio.
Have tuned in to Home, telling our ministry of empowerment. Welcome home. I am so excited that you have joined me on today. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. Truly, God is such a great God, and He's able to do all things but fail. And I know that God has a tremendous blessing for you on today. We want to take a moment just to pause for just a moment. We want to double check to see if everyone is able to hear and have connection. So bear with me for just a moment to make sure that we are all plugged in for just a moment. So if you hear a moment of silence, just know that I'm just double checking to make sure we are all connected. So we'll take a moment, and again, we're waiting to make sure that we're all logged in and everyone can hear us and can hear and is in tune in together. If not, we're going to call back in and start all over again. So bear with me for just a moment so we can get all connected in. Okay, let us just go ahead. We're going to go ahead and move forward into our session on today. Today's our lesson is going to be trusting God in times of trouble. And our focus is going to be around several passages of scriptures on this evening. We're going to be looking at Psalms 56, and we're going to look at also Deuteronomy chapter number 20, verse number 1 through 4. And then we're going to also look at Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 5. And so let us just take a look. Let's look at Hebrews. Let's look at Deuteronomy, and we'll just go right straight down. We're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter number 20, verses number 1 through 4. When thou goest out to battle against thy enemy, seest thou horses and chariots, and the people more than thou. Be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And if it shall be, when ye are come nigh unto the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemy. Let not your heart faint. Fear not, do not tremble, neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Now let's take a look also at another scripture that we're going to use as our foundation. It's going to be over at Psalms 56. And it said, Be merciful unto me, O God, for man will swallow me up. He's fighting that daily oppressed me. Many my enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. O thou most high, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day thou wrest my words. All thy thoughts are against me for evil. They gathered themselves together. They hid themselves. They marked my steps. When they wait for my soul, shall they escape by iniquity? In thy anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wandering, and thou my tears into thy bottle, and they are in thy book. When I cried unto thee, then shall my enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. Thou vow art upon me, O God. I will render praise unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Will thou not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Now let's look at our final verse of scripture that we're going to be looking at on tonight, and that's going to be over in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 5. For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Okay, that is going to be our scripture reference for our lesson on today. And truly, children of God, we are definitely living in those times, in the times of trouble. We can see trouble on every hand. We can see it even in the elements, even in nature. We can just see the whole earth is groaning. But even in the times of trouble, God wants us to trust him as never before. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care what's going down in your neighborhood. I come to be the voice crying in the wilderness. And my cry is tonight is that for you to continually trust God in the time of trouble. Truly, God will come through on behalf of his people. And so let's look here at our lesson tonight. Today, we're going to look at our introduction, and then we're going to be looking at swallowed up by our enemies. The oppression is daily. The source are many. Then we're going to look at trust in God, resist fear, trust in God, praise his word. Then we're going to be reviewing our troubles. They rasp my word daily. They are constantly against me. They conspire and plot it in ambush. And then we're going to look at God knows all about it. He knows them and he knows us. And God will intervene. Then finally, we're going to look at God, praise God anyway. Praise him for the past victory. Trust him for the future deliverance. And trust him to keep us in the midst of it all. Come on and just shout hallelujah. I can feel a praise right there in my spirit. Before we even get into the lesson on tonight, I can just feel the exuding power of God exuding. Let's take a look here. Job chapter 14 and 1 states, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Also, Job chapter 5 verse number 7 states, yet man is born unto trouble as the sharks fly upward. As a negative as the phrase of full of trouble and born unto trouble may sound, they are true for the earthly experience of mankind. Most people enjoy many wonderful experiences in life, and some are richly blessed, but all people experience life's trouble. It is realistically negative for a person to say that he will only experience trouble in life, but it is realistic and true that he will suffer his share of life difficulties. And we all know that we all going to face and suffer some type of difficulty or being challenged in one way or another. Some of the trouble that we go through is our own making as a result of unwise choices. There are also trouble that comes from Satan, designed to attack and to try to discourage us. But much of our trouble comes from enemies. It comes from people and spirit poised against us because of righteousness. And because you live in righteously and striving to live right and things, there will be people that will be literally against you and spirits that oppose you and fight against you because of your righteousness, living right before God. When a person experiences difficulty, they are tempted to think that they are the only having one that's having this trouble. But let no one think that he is alone in their trouble. Everyone, regardless of their situation or status in life, suffered trouble. no one is exempt from trouble. We will study how David faced his enemies on this afternoon and how he kept the right attitude and trust in the Lord. He enumerated their tactics against him, but he did not spend all his time talking about how bad things were. He reminded himself that God knew all about him, his enemies, and his trouble. Moreover, when all of these trying things were happening to him, he trusted in God. And I want us to recognize that sometimes we must remember or call to remembrance that God knows all about our troubles. And then, too, God knows our enemies. And guess what? God knows about our problems. So we can rest assured that we serve a God that knows all about it. I don't care how bleak it may seem and how it may be that you're suffering or going through whatever the dilemma that you may find yourself in life. We must still yet remember that God is in control of our lives and our destiny. So that's what David did. First of all, David recognized and remembered that God knows. He knows him, he knows about his problem, and he knows about his enemies. And so a lot of time we don't focus on the fact that God knows about our enemies. Sometimes we think, yes, God knows me, he knows all about my struggle and things, but guess what? God knows about your enemies as well. David knew the secret to victory, trusting and praising the Lord. Victory does not only come through proper preparation for the battle, outnumbering the enemies in the soldiers or weapons, or by understanding the enemy. David knew the secret to victory was relying entirely on the Lord to bring victory. It was not difficult for him to praise the Lord. Let us learn from his lesson to trust the Lord and put all our troubles into his hand. Trusting God in the time of trouble is our answer to complete victory. Trusting God. And sometimes we need to stop and ask the question, you know, God knows, but am I completely trusting God to fight my battle? Now, let's look at another one, swallowed up by the enemy. The oppression is daily, and the sources are many. And let's look at that. Whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, we do have enemies. And Jesus said, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Luke 6:26. He also said that we would be hated by the world. You can see John 15:18-20. Because we are on the side of righteousness, we have enemies. For Satan and all of the forces of unrighteousness oppose us. There is also no neutrality in the conflict of life. A person is either on one side of righteousness, on the side of righteousness, or they're not. There's no neutral side. Either you're for or against. There are some people who do not choose to walk with the Lord, yet they often defend the way of righteousness. Unfortunately, if a person does not devote his life to Jesus Christ and live for him, he unintentionally aligns himself with unrighteousness. That places him squarely on the wrong side. And I want to reiterate that. Because a lot of time people in their own self-righteousness or thinking they're doing the right thing don't realize that they are aligning themselves with unrighteousness. And so either you're for God or you're against them. And there's no middle way in things. God said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. Now let's look at the first point for tonight. The oppression is daily. Psalm 56:1, it opened up a statement and said, he fighting daily oppresses me. And don't you know, you can feel the struggle, and you can feel the fight for the children of God. Now you can feel them as never before. There is a battle on every side. And even in Daniel, Daniel has stated that Satan wanted to wear out the saints. And so we as children of God must recognize that it's the job and the intention of the adversary, the enemy of our soul, to wear the saints out. But what we have to learn to do is just continue to declare, I'm trusting God will bring me out. I'm trusting God will do it and do the work. Now, Psalm 52 went on and said, my enemy would daily swallow me up. So intermittent opposition is bad enough, but Satan opposed the believer daily. Not content to attack annually or monthly or to worry weekly, Satan tries to destroy daily. His oppression of the believer is daily. And so we as children of God, we must recognize that he is daily going to try to attack the children of God. But the Bible said for us to leap for joy and to continue to praise God. And that's how we will counteract the adversary and the onslaught. Because we are attacked daily, we need to fight daily. Anyone who is attacked daily but does not fight daily is summarily is going to be defeated. And we must recognize in our mind it's a daily battle. Each day you wake up, it's a battle. But what we got to do is say, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm believing that you are able to do all things but fail. Come on and just shout hallelujah. You said when we must fight as much as the enemy attacks. Technically, if we resist with the same power with that which the Satan attack us, we will only hold our ground. In other words, we must resist Satan with more force than that which he fights, not only to avoid backsliding, but also to gain the victory. We must fight back and resist the devil with the same but even more intensity as never before. We must also understand that Satan launches offenses much like any army. Since he is not omniscient and not all present, it is not possible for him to attack everyone all the time except through his special agents, which are demons. For this reason, at times we feel much more oppression than other times. So we're constantly in the battle, but sometimes you feel it even more so as opposed to another day. And this is when his demons just come out to try to attack the children of God. And we as children of God as never before must have to hold fast as never before to the word of God, as well as praising God and giving God the praise. That's what happened to David. David gave God the praise. He lifted him up. He gave him the glory and he gave him the honor. Now let's look here. It said the sources are many. Now Psalm 56 and 2 say, for they are many that fight against me. A believer's enemy are a myriad. It is not a great number that we can see. It is a great number that we cannot see, whether visible or invisible. They may be many that fight against us. Consequently, our conflicts are complicated. If our enemy were only one in number, it would not be nearly as difficult to go to battle and enjoy the victory. But to battle an enemy on many fronts spreads our human resources thin and increases our need for more surveillance and spiritual weapons. The enemy attacks low and high with frontal and flank and near assault and rear assault. He attacks in the dark and in the night. He comes with the noise of an open attack, and he comes with silence and secret to surprise us. Moreover, Paul revealed in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 14 that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. We must always be watchful lest we be deceived. And so, children of God, we must always and constantly be watchful of what the adversary is trying to do. Now, let's look here. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Ephesians 6 and 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The Apostle Peter cautioned, the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 and 8. The verse begins with, be sober, be vigilant. To be vigilant means to keep a watch and stay awake. Whether Satan comes as an angel or of light or as a roaring lion, we need to be alert and watching so that we are able to recognize our enemy and what he is doing. So open your eyes, child of God. Look around. Be alert. Be sober. Watch. The Bible says watch and pray so you enter not into temptation. Now let's look at another point on today. We're going to look at trust in God. Resist fear. And trust in God. Let's take a look at that, because it's key for us to put our trust in God. And when fear comes in our heart, you need to resist that and don't give it no place to residue and take residence in your thought or your mind. We must recognize that our thoughts can lead us into captivity, and it can be a binding thing, that thinking that you have no way out. Anything but Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Come on, put your hands together. It says, it is a natural for human to be afraid. Fear is a normal human response to danger. We should not feel defeated when we experience fear. God designed us to have some fear, for fear is a feeling of anxiety, agitation, felt at the presence of danger. But according to 2 Timothy 1 and 7, he has not given us the spirit of fear. Moreover, we are not to allow fear to paralyze and torment us. And I think it's to that degree when fear begins to paralyze us. And what I mean by that, keeping us from being able to mobilize, to move forward from the place where we're at. Keeping us from being able to do the things that we know to do, and just come to shut us totally down. We cannot allow fear to paralyze or torment. Although it's natural to be afraid, it is beneficial to resist fear. To resist fear is beneficial to a non-believer, but it's even more beneficial and vital to the believer. Through faith, the believer has the power to resist fear. Consequently, we should not allow fear to govern us. Let us rather exercise our spiritual weapon and resist fear through faith. Faith is fear. Fear is the arch enemy of faith. No person believes without conquering fear. To conquer fear requires resistance. Some resistance slightly, which represent little more than stating which side they are on, while others resist so strongly that everything that they have is dedicated to resistance. Life presents to us two choices, whether to believe in God or not, or whether we are Christians or not. The two choices can be summarized in two words, for or against. Now, I remember there was a young lady that was in my class that for our hermeneutical class, and we was talking about sermon preparation. She shared with a profound message on our last days, and when we were doing the our sermon preparation, and when they was giving their sermon, she preached a profound word. She said, "Are you going to believe him or them?" And I thought it was so profound, and it's still relevant today. Who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe them or him? And I come to tell you and challenge your heart, we come to believe him and believe his report. It said, if we trust in God and walk with him, we are members of resistance. for we are for him, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Conversely, if we are not living for Jesus Christ, we are automatically a part of the opposition or against God. The term to resist, to oppose actively, fight, to work against, refuse to cooperate with, to keep from yielding. Therefore, to resist fear is to be actively engaged in constant conflict with fear, never allowing it to get the upper hand. Though in the human realm it is normal to experience fear, in the spiritual realm it is necessary always to resist it and place our trust in God. We must continue to put our trust in God. Now, let's look at trusting God. What does that mean to us as believers, as children of God? Let's take a look at that. The word trust in the Old Testament conveys the idea of the word faith and believe in the New Testament. It includes the idea of taking refuge, leaning on, or staying upon. The dictionary adds the idea of firm belief, confidence in. The word trust occurs 134 times in the Bible, 117 times in the Old Testament, and 27 times in the New Testament. The term faith occurs 247 times in the Bible, with only two of those in the Old Testament, and 245 in the New Testament. Clearly, it would appear that trust is primarily an Old Testament term and faith is primarily a New Testament term. Now, let's take a look here. Every person, whether a believer or not, places trust into something. Some people place trust into money, possession, power, popularity, personality, and people. The most important consideration is not whether we have trust. Rather, the question is, in what or whom do we put our trust? David unequivocally declared, "In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." Psalm 56:4. As a wealthy king, David had access to all he could ever need or want materially, but he chose to put his trust in the Lord. Trusting in God accomplishes at least seven things. And let's take a look at these seven things when we put our trust and confidence in God. Number one, it releases God to work. Number two, it forms a partnership. And you can see that over in 1 Corinthians 3:9. Number three, it fixes affiliation. My affiliation is going to be with God. Number four, it eliminates fear. You can read that over in First John 4:18. It establishes security. Number six, it causes peace. Number seven, it precipitates joy. And you'll read that over in Psalms 5:11. Eight verses follow the command to trust in God. And you can find that over in Psalm 37:3-8. And it says, "Do good, delight yourself, commit thy ways, rest in the Lord, wait patiently, cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not." So God here, God has said, do good, delight yourself in the Lord, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Then we have to learn how to just rest in God and cease from anger and forsake wrath and fret not. Those are some of the things that God wants us to do. And you can find that over in Psalms 37:3-8. And sometimes we need to ask ourselves the question, am I truly resting in God? Am I truly committed my ways unto God? Do I delight myself in God? Do I wait patiently upon God? Have I ceased from anger and forsaken wrath? And am I not fretting? Do I still fret? And so these are some things that we as children of God need to start bearing the fruit thereof, of doing good, like delighting ourselves, and cease from anger and wrath and not fretting. And these things are practices that we have to learn how to practice and practice our life. Now let's look at another point on tonight. Praise his word. Psalm 56:4 said, in God will I praise his word. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. Psalm 56:10. If we trust God, we will also trust his word, for he is inseparable from his word. Moreover, as we praise God, it is natural for us to praise his word. Praising his word involves praising God's greatness, praising God's faithfulness, praising God's sureness that are established by his word. Now, many times we do praise God and we engage in praising God, but do we really praise his word? Sometimes, Lord, I just praise you for your word, that your spoken word, your written word, and just praise you. Shalalalamoshe. And I just could feel the power of God right there. We must praise God for his word. Now, let's take a look here over in John. Now, let's see how it's going to intertwine here. It said, John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You see how it connects there, that when I'm praising God's word, I'm praising who? God. And see, because God's word was with him at the beginning, and his word was him. And so when I think and look at Psalms 23 or Psalms 24 or whatever passage of scripture that comes from his word, I begin to worship and praise God for his written word. And God said, when you praise my word, you're praising me. Because, again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, full of grace and truth. C.I. Scofield observed John 1:1, in him are embodied all the treasure of the divine wisdom, the collected thought of God. Jesus was no less than and no greater than his word, for the word was God himself. And you can see that over in John 1:1, the Amplified Version. A person's word entails his promises. Consequently, to praise God for his word is to praise him for his promises. In Psalm 56:4, the psalmist David wrote, in God I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. Where the King James Version has translated, in God I will praise his word, the contemporary English version has rendered, praising his promises. Praising the promises of God contained in his word is an expression of faith in God. Faith that praises God for his promises before their fulfillment in a person's life possesses the quality of trust that delights God and moves him to act on one's behalf. Now, I want to reiterate that again because I want you to get that. That's key. That when a person begins to praise God, it says, faith that praises God for his promises before the fulfillment in a person's life possesses the quality of trust that delights God and moves him to act on one's behalf. God faithfully rewards those who praise him and put their full confidence in his word. We as children of God, we must put our full confidence in the word of God. If God said, delight yourself in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart, God means he will give you the desires of your heart. He means not to look at FICA not to look at what's in your hand, not to look at what your credit score or anything else is saying. But he said delight before there was a credit score, before there was a Equifax and TransUnion and all of the other, there was the written word. Before they came with a monetary system such as we have now, that was the written word. And his word is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Come on and shout hallelujah. Oh, yalaboshika. Lord, we praise your word. We put a confidence in your word. God told me, he said, Helen, you dream again. You live your dream and things, and don't let no one disturb you from living your dream. And so sometimes we allow things and elements to overthrow our dreams and that God has given, and they God ordained dreams and desire. Because if you delight in yourself in God and you love God and you want to please God, I believe my desires will become God's desire, because I'm desiring to please him. I'm desiring to walk upright and holy before him, and it's his will and pleasure to give us the kingdom and things. And so God wants us to do that and trust him in all our heart, mind, and soul, and don't lean to your own understanding. You know, it could, Lord, and I think that that's what gets us when we're trying to figure it out. Now, how this is going to happen, trust God. God will work out the detail. Trust God. God will work it out. Now, let's look at reviewing our trouble. They wrestle my words daily. This is what the psalmist was saying. He said, whether it's good or bad to do so, there are human tendency for an individual to cite a litany of these troubles, whether he can find someone to listen. Where is the individual who, when making conversation with others, can resist the temptation to share this trouble and burden others with their problem? And that is so true, because that's just a human nature. We want to talk and share. As someone once said, misery loves company. Moreover, it is true that everyone needs someone with whom they can share their hurts, troubles, and disappointments. There are times when a person needs to vent their anger and frustration. David vented one of his frustration when he penned Psalms 56 and 5. He said, every day they wrestle my words. A person might tend to think that having others twist their word would not be nearly as painful as having others physically twist their arms or leg. But those who have experienced the twisting of their words by an enemy have experienced a pain that their heart remembered long after the pain has subsided from the twisted limb. David's hurt caused him to list many numerous things others were saying about him. Now let's look at another point here. They are constantly against me. Now this is all what David was going through. Everybody was against David. David was striving to do right. And sometimes you may be striving to do right, and your whole household is against you. People is fighting up against you. Your community is fighting up. You're being fought on the job. Everybody was against David. He said they constantly fought against me. And so this is not a strange thing that happens to the people and the children of God. But let's look at David and how David handled the situation. A person does not usually enjoy opposition. It is unpleasant to know that someone is against him. Therefore, it is not common or strange for David to mention that he had enemies. Moreover, Jesus said, woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. Luke 6 and 26. And so in essence, Jesus was saying, now it's something must be up if everybody's talking well and nice about you and things like that. He said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. And so this led us to know that everybody's not going to be speaking well of us and well of our intention and our desires and what we're doing. So don't be overthrown if they're dragging your name through the mud and they're not talking and looking at your positive and all the work you've done and all that you have did to try to get things moving and the whole thing. Well, Jesus even said it. Woe unto you if all men, when all men speak well of you. It said, if we walk righteously, we will face opposition from some people. David observed not only the fact that he had enemies, but also that they were working against him continually. Whatever pressures that they were exerting against him, their oppositions were regular and ongoing. To live victoriously, believers must be aware of the constant threat of the enemy. Satan and his agent take no holidays. They do not rest. They don't go on a sabbatical. Demons don't go on a vacation. They're constantly working at their job to overthrow the child of God. And we must constantly be on guard against the enemy. They conspired and plotted ambush. Now here, David the king, they plotting ambush against him. So if you find yourself being plotted on against on your job and in the marketplace or even in your home among your family members, recognize David went through the same self thing. It said they gathered themselves together and they hid themselves. Psalm 56:6. It was not enough that David enemies were against him. They were together and against him. An enemy acting alone can do much harm. But enemies acting together produce formidable opposition. David witnessed such conspiracy against him. King Saul hated David and was very jealous of him. Saul attempted physically to kill David, but he also brought his enemies against him. See 1 Samuel 23:8 and chapter 24:2. Saul brought his enemies and David, enemies to try to kill David and things. All of them was against David. David also had to deal with the fact that sometimes his enemy did not confront him openly. David had to exercise caution and be alert because his enemy often lurked in the shadows. Creating an ambush is an ancient method of warfare. Catching one's enemy unaware is one of the main objectives of any military campaign. Saul was a skilled military strategist, and he knew he needed to surprise David. And some of you generals in God's army and things, the enemy know he needs to surprise you. That's the only way he can overtake you and things. He can't just come up and just walk in and take your stuff. Because he knows that you're watching and praying and will resist him. So what he does, he tries to surprise you, come in another way. But that's why we as children of God, we arm ourselves. We put on the whole armor of God. We watch and pray so we won't enter into the temptations of the devil. Believers should learn a lesson from David's struggle with Saul. They also must be aware of their enemy, Satan, who always is lurking in the shadow, waiting to pounce on them suddenly. But God has equipped believers with many weapons to defeat the sly tactics of the devil. We do not need to fear. We need only to be alert to his subtle and deceptive attack against our soul. So wake up and let us be alert, children of God. The devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy and things. But again, God said he came that we might have life and that more abundantly. God knows all about it. Any person in the depths of despair from overwhelming trouble long for someone to understand their plot. Pastors and counselors know that it is a therapeutic to those who are suffering for them to be able to talk about their problems. Even in the absence of a clear solution, the hurting person feels better if they know the counselor is listening with empathy and understanding. No one understands our needs and trouble like God. He is omniscient. He knows all about us, including all our hurts. Moreover, he also must qualify and he's the most qualified and able to alleviate the problem. For he is omnipotent, possessing all power in heaven and in earth. And we should take all our troubles to him in prayer. And that's why the relevancy of Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of an infirmity, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. He was tempted, but yet he was without sin. Let's look at another point. He knows them. Psalm 56:7 states, shall they escape by iniquity? In thy anger cast down the people, O God. Although David's enemy gathered themselves together and hid themselves, God knew exactly who they were and where they were. His omniscience and omnipresence are brought to bear, for his presence everywhere gives him all knowledge about everything. Obadiah 4 states, so thou exalt thyself as an eagle, and though thou set thy nest among all the stars, thence will I bring thee down, said the Lord. Amos 9, 1 and 2 state, he that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered, though they dig a ditch into hell. Hence shall my hand take them, though they climb up to heaven. Hence will I bring them down. So God knows our enemies. And he's the one that's going to overthrow. He's the one that's going to fight. And sometimes when you're in the heat of the battle, you forget that. And it's hard to step back and allow God just to do it, especially when you're married and especially when you have a close relationship and things like that. Sometimes it's hard to pull back when that one person, that spouse, is hurting or inflicting emotional discomfort and withholding information and not being truthful unto you. It can be hurting. But God said, don't worry about it. I see and I know and I do care. And we must recognize that God see and know and he does care. And he will fight our battle. It is important to us that God knows who our enemies are. That knowledge encourages us that he will understand our trouble and act on our behalf. Now, I believe that we find ourselves knowing that God understands about our trouble. But I think that it's sometimes challenging for us to rest in the fact that really, really confidently to say that God is going to act on our behalf and God will help us in the time of our trouble. And so that's so key, that God will act on our behalf. God's knowledge of his people as they yield their life to him means salvation to them. But God's knowledge of the enemies of his people still one day means judgment and damnation to them. We must recognize that he knows us. Now, we talked about a couple of things, that how he knows all about it. He knows of our enemies. Now, let's take a look. He knows us. Thou tellest my wanderings and put thy fears into thy bottles, are not there in thy book. David obviously felt it was important that God knows our enemy, but he also knew the value of God's knowledge of him. How could God take care of us if he did not know us? But his intimate knowledge of us empowers him to care for us. What a joy to realize that he knows us. When David wrote, thou tellest my wandering, he was expressing his confidence that God was intimate knowledge of his wooing. Whenever he went, whatever he suffered, God was fully aware of his state. He saw David in his struggle and was helping him through them. And so it is that God knows our path and will help us through our difficult times. See, God will intervene. When I cried unto him, then shall my enemy turn back. This I know, for God is for me. Psalms 56 and 9. In spite of the trouble that David went through, he knew when he cried out to God that God would intervene for him. As lonely as he felt, especially when King Saul was pursuing him, he knew that God was with him and for him. This knowledge and fear gave David the courage he needed to sustain him and give him victory. There is no challenge so difficult and no trouble so terrible that God would not help us overcome if we will only call on him. There are no greater words of encouragement than those of the Apostle Paul to the Christian at Rome. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 and 31. Now let's take a look here at Deuteronomy. We read that already, but I want to read it again. Deuteronomy chapter number 20, verses number 1 through 4. It said, when thou goest out to battle against thy enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up and out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when ye come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto the battle against your enemy. Let not your heart faint. Fear not. Do not tremble. Neither be terrified because of them. For the Lord your God is he that goeth with thee to fight for you against your enemy to save you. Now, let's look here. Praise God anyway. It is noteworthy that David concluded Psalm 56 with the word of praise. In the three of the last verses of the psalm, David used the word praise three times. He had discovered that victory begins and ends with praise. These three times that David used the word praise, he said, I will praise. David was determined to praise God regardless of the situation. He praised the Lord before the battle, he praised the Lord during the battle, and he praised the Lord after the battle. And so it is with us. We got to praise God before the battle, we got to praise God in the battle, and we got to praise God even after the battle. Now let's take a look here. David praised him for the path of victory. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, Psalm 56 and 13. Stated. David knew the key to future victory was remembering and rejoicing over what God had done in the past. Rejoicing in what God has done encouraged faith in what he will do. David could enumerate many past victories. God had delivered him on numerous occasions, and David never forgot it. When he went against the giant Goliath, he said to King Saul, thy servant kept thy father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defied the army of the living God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34 and 36. Let's look here at a next point. Trust God for future deliverance. Psalm 56 and 13 say, will not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? It is not difficult for David to trust God to deliver him. He knew that what he had done before, he was able to do again. David knew that God never changes. He's still the same. Malachi 3 and 6, for I am the Lord. I change not. Our circumstances change. Days change. Things change. But people change. But the Bible says, I am the Lord, and I change not. He's still the healer. He's still the deliverer. He's still the way out of no way. Trust him to keep us. Every person experiences difficulty whether or not they choose to serve the Lord. No one is exempt from trouble. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We find that over in Job 4 and 1. We will experience trouble either with or without God's help. But trouble is much more bearable when we serve the Lord and he have a constant presence and assistance. We are presently experiencing turmoil and confusion, as we know, in the world. And many people are fearful and wondering if we indeed entering the end time spoken of in the biblical book of Daniel and Revelation. And we do know what we are doing, approaching those times. Some people speculate whether the church will be called up to meet the Lord before the tribulation or if God's people will suffer through the troublesome time. If we truly trust God to keep us, however, it really doesn't matter what happens. We can trust God to care for us through any and every difficult situation. And we must recognize that God will take care of his people, what belongs to him. King David was a mighty king of Israel whom God chose to be the leader of his people. He was a man after God's own heart. God used him mightily and was always with him. But this did not keep David from going through the battle, many battles, and having many troubles. In Psalm 56, David enumerated some of his trouble. Many enemies, using different tactics, tried daily to swallow him up. He complained that their thoughts were against him and that they twisted his words. But David did not give in a list of his complaints. Although King Saul was hunting him to kill him, David was the anointed of the Lord to succeed Saul. David carefully wrote that in his fear he trusted in the Lord who kept him safe. David stated that God counted his journey and kept record of his tears, putting them in a bottle, recording them in his own book. As God knew always of David's situation, so he knows our condition, and he will take care of us. Although we may have trouble, God is always with us to help and deliver us. May we ever fail to trust, may we never fail to trust God in our times of trouble. And I come to tell you, child of God, in our conclusion, that we are living in troublesome times. The economy is troubled. Wars are going on over there in Russia and Georgia, fighting and things. But we must recognize that God is still yet in control. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what's going on right there in your own home. We got to declare, God, you are in control. And we're going to trust you. We're going to praise you. We're going to give you the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. We're going to continue to lift up holy hands in the midst of it all. God is able, oh child of God. I don't care where you find yourself at right now. I don't want you to give up. Don't you even allow your mind to become perplexed by what the adversary is doing. But I want you to trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. When it seems like the enemy is coming in like a flood, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against the enemy. Come on and shout hallelujah. God is fighting on your behalf. He that will come, and will not tarry. God is doing it. He's fighting for his people. He's beating back the enemy. He's beating down the enemy on our behalf. And I come to tell you, child of God, as I get ready to close for tonight and things, don't bind yourself in a corner. Don't let fear paralyze and torment your mind. Stand up and say, I'm going to believe God. I'm trusting God in the middle of this. And say to you, uncircumcised Philistine, how dare you try to defy the order of God, defy the army of God in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, as we come right now in the name of Jesus and by the power that's in the Holy Ghost, Lord, we call forth strength, Lord. We call forth power. We call forth your anointing, Lord. Right now in the name of Jesus, we ask, oh, God, your sovereign will to be done, your kingdom to come, Lord, right now. Unshackle the hand of the enemy, Lord, that's trying to fight, Lord, your people, Lord. Set them free in their mind and spirit, in their spirit, that it may soar up to heaven. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I call your sovereign will to be done. Say then, the Lord God will rebuke you. Lord, I decree an open heaven, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, over your people, Lord, undergird and fortify and strengthen, Lord, in the name of Jesus. You said in your word, Lord, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, dear God. And, oh, God, we stand upon your word today. say and declare and decree, Lord, your sovereign will be done, your kingdom come right now in the name of Jesus. Have your way, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord. Undergird, fortify, and strengthen we, your people, O God. And Father, we'll praise your name. We'll give you the glory, O God, and give you the praise. Now, Lord, walk in that situation. Bind the tongue of the adversary. We call, Lord, your word, O God, of life to flow in that home. We call, O God, your will. Turn the situation around, Lord. O God, heal today, dear God. Stretch forth your mighty hand today in the name of Jesus. Father, 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 we call on your name. We seek your face. We say, come, Lord Jesus, come while we wait, O God, and while we call upon your name. And Father, we'll praise your name. O Korea Shandariateke, Ikabababoshekerian. Walk in that house, Lord. Walk in that home, Lord. Satan, back up in the name of Jesus. Loose here. We adjure you in the name of Jesus. God, you are our shepherd, and we shall not want, O God, for any good thing. We call on your name. We seek your face, Lord Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. My Jesus, meet the need, open the door, make the way out of knowing, supply, Lord. You are our manna, Lord. You are our King of kings and the Lord of lords, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Have your way, O God, and we'll praise your name. Power, Holy Ghost power, Lord, send down your power, send down your anointing in thy name, O God. And Father, we'll praise your name. We'll give you the glory. We'll give you the honor. We'll give you the praise that's due to you, O God. In thy name, Lord, shalaria shikara kobri kabashata kabashata. In thy name, O God. And we'll praise your blessed name, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.